2021.
Here we go.
Under all sorts of pressure.
It's his confidence. Ad-lib football.
Two teams have risen above them all to make the grand final. Penrith do the West proud, or will the Bunnies bounce back?
Pass, game on!
For Rheem and McDonald's. Triple M rocks the grand final.
Yes, and this is your NRL grand final preview podcast. MG, Liam and Ryan Girdler jumping in the studio, all mustachioed up.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Grown that lip slug for the last,
happy
what,
to
month?
Be here. Is
love it? Having
how
you.
Good.
Can you tell me in that clip back then, who says rugby league, number one's prize?
I don't know. Cause I've been listening to it, and it feels like it's Dan Ginnane losing, like, you know.
Maybe.
His ball's breaking slightly, but you don't hear Dan do that often. Mm. So I'm not sure where it's from.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah. This is it. This is the last time we'll be previewing a game in 2021.
What a game it is.
And the Penny Panthers will take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yeah, it's amazing.
How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I mean, it's grand final week. And, you know, myself and Gerds have been very busy as ex-players. And because the team aren't physically in Penrith to get quotes and stuff off, because they can basically hide where they want up in Queensland and say, no, sorry, I've got a Zoom meeting. Or I've got a, you know, they've been coming to me and Gerds a bit. And I suppose Scotty Sattler and Luke Pritters from the 2003 team as well. And Brandy and Royce Simmons, we've all been asked to do, like, how are you feeling? I'm feeling great. I feel different than I did last year. I think last year I was a little bit more nervous because coming up against Melbourne in this team's first grand final, I think I didn't know if they were ready for it deep down. And they showed that they weren't, and they didn't respect the grand final for what it is, because until you've played one, I suppose, and you've gone out in the field, it's very similar to a State of Origin game where very fast, very intense. But the difference between State of Origin and this is this is the last game of the year. So if you get beat, that's a massive long off season of woe. And I think that's what's kind of fueling the current Panthers this year. That I keep thinking and seeing Nathan Cleary's face when Melbourne Storm lift the trophy up and how disappointed and how shattered he was. And I think that's what's fueled, in particular, him this year, who's their leader.
Well, you lost one, MG, didn't you? So you lost one in obviously 90 and then went to win one in 91. I think the last time a side lost consecutive grand finals was the Roosters in 2003, 2004. Like, could you imagine going through that in two consecutive years? It'd be really hard to take,
Well,
I
the
imagine.
Thing about them was they won in 2002.
They won 2002.
But the last ones before them was the Dragons, who went back-to-back, 92, 93, got beat.
Yeah. Yeah, look, so obviously there's a lot of fuel to their fire, and I think the experience that they take, not only from the grand final and the series last year, but from the Origin inclusion this year. I mean, they had six or seven guys.
That's massive.
In the Origin. So they know what's coming, and I think even though their paths into the grand final have been very different, played totally, it couldn't be more different, actually, with Wayne resting South guys in round 25, winning that first semi against Penrith, having another week off. So they've effectively played two games, and that second one against Manly probably wasn't the best conditioning for a grand final, but...
you take the rest, don't you?
You know, they're finally tuned and they're ready to go, and they're fresh, whereas Penrith, their journey's been totally different. Three brutal encounters in a row, and what's left for that for the major goal in all of it, which is the grand final.
Let's start with the Panthers. The big change, obviously, from the prelim win over the Storm is that there will be no Tevita Pangai Jr. He has succumbed to the knee injury, put his hand up, according to reports on Tuesday, when the Panthers staff asked him how he was travelling and said, I'm not going to be right.
No.
So, which means Moses Leota, who missed last week, will come straight back into the starting 13. And Spencer Lenu gets the opportunity to come off the bench, a Penrith Jr., a fantastic story for him. Last, ahead of the prelim, MG, you were saying that was your theory. You said start Tevita Pangai Jr., send a message. That's what Ivan did. We know he listens to the podcast, but it executed perfectly for the Panthers.
Yeah, it did. And I think they needed that against Melbourne. I think Melbourne, who run roughshod over a lot of teams, mostly every team in the competition, because of their forwards, because of Welsh, because of the Bromwich brothers, because of Finucane and because of Kafusi, and then Nelson comes on and does the same. Mm. We needed somebody up front to go bang. We're here to play. And Tevita Pangai Jr. did that. I think they'll learn their lessons from the last time Penrith played against the Rabbitohs, which Gerds mentioned, the first round of the finals footy. They took South Sydney for granted. They didn't give them the respect they deserved. This time round, I think they will, because they've seen what they've done the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, the paths have been different, but it's the same rugby league team. Mm. I've said on this show many a time, I put my hand up and said that they can't win the competition without Latrell Mitchell. Now they're in the grand final, so I'll give them a 50-50 chance. So all these things that have happened to them, Gerds, over the last year, twice, you know, Penrith 56-12, Melbourne Storm 50-0. History tells you you can't win the NRL if you've had 50 points scored on you, but you just get the feeling that there's something special about this team, and there's a bit of destiny involved with South as well.
Yeah, some great storylines there, MG, and I think the game's a little bit different too. We see a lot of more records falling these days just purely because of the rules of the game have changed so succinctly over the last couple of years to allow points to be scored more readily and more freely, as we've seen. But it's some great stories. Wayne's last game, obviously in charge. Adam Reynolds moving away. The fact that it's in Brisbane, you've got Reno going to Brisbane next year, you've got Wayne spending so much time there, and you've got Benji retiring. So, I mean, really, it's so many good stories.
How much do you two honestly think Wayne Bennett would have been landing on those stories? Not his own, because I know he won't be talking about that. You wouldn't have thought, but the Benji and specifically the Adam Reynolds story. Do you think he would have lent on it this week?
In particular, Adam Reynolds. Yeah, he's South Sydney to the bone, and I couldn't believe when they even spoke about getting rid of him this year. Like earlier this year,
I remember you were.
I said, no way. What's he done wrong? And
you declared it the greatest signing in the Broncos' history.
At the time, I did, yeah. And I stand by it because he's still got another good 3 or 4 years in him. He's a great kicker of a ball. So back to Penrith, we got a little bit off track there, but I think the fact that Moses Leota, I don't think he played against the Rabbitohs the first time they got beat in the first semi. I think he was out with
him and Edwards were out.
Him and Edwards were out. Mm. That's when Crichton played fullback. So Edwards has been in a moon boot this week as well, just for precaution, I would imagine. This is a game where you've got to start really quickly. You've got to get out of the blocks, and in particular, Moses Leota and James Fisher-Harris, who's also carrying a bit of a knee injury, they've got to fight fire with these guys up front because at the moment, South Sydney's forwards have been their story. Then off the bench comes Burgess and Jaiara, who add oomph. Well, Pangai Jr.'s not there to do that now. So they've got to have someone like a Liam Martin or Billy Kickout does it all the time, but Spencer Lenu is a blockbusting powerhouse. He'll come off the bench and wreak havoc. But he's got to do it in a controlled way.
They lifted the tempo last time these two sides played. It got to about the 15 or the 20-minute mark, and then Tom Burgess came on, ran for almost 200 metres in that
game. Of the season.
And Joey Arrow just loves to make it personal, and he came on and he took on Fisher-Harris, and he took on those guys. And as MG said, look, I haven't seen South Sydney play that way before this season. I thought that if they were going to go on at the back end of the season to compete with the Melbournes and the Penrith, they needed to work on those areas of the game. And they showed in that game, and I think it caught me as a pundit, but also the Panthers players by surprise just a little bit, because what Penrith and that have been able to do, you know, throughout games is just lift the intensity and go at a certain level, at a certain physicality for longer periods than most other teams. Well, South in that week one showed that they can do just that. Now, they haven't had to do it a lot, but they've done it enough now to get themselves into a grand final. And I'm sure Penrith are going into this one and South knowing that they can do it again if need be. If this game's won on defence, if you would have said to me 6 weeks ago, Penrith play South Sydney in a grand final and the game's going to be won on intent and defence, I would have said, well, Penrith are going to win. Mm-hmm. Now, they got beaten at their own game in round one of the semi-finals, so it's just another string to South Sydney's bow.
Well, Penrith are still the best defensive team in the competition. Mm. I think it's the best defensive average is in terms of points per game conceded since the Storm in 2014 or thereabouts, less than 12 points a game. So it is the best defensive team, and if you look over the years, the best defensive team normally wins the competition. Let's talk about the Bunnies, Adam Reynolds. Now, we saw he was restricted last week in the win over Manly, and the nature of the game meant that he didn't actually have to do all that much. Cody Walker was dominant from a kicking perspective. Blake Taff had the goal-kicking duties. Gerds, as a kicker, a groin
general
injury.
General play kicker?
But also goal-kicking.
Yeah, the worst.
A groin.
It's the worst. It hampers you. It can really destabilise, you know, your preparation, and then obviously on game day, there's certain things you can play with that are around pain like shoulder or bruising or whatever it may be. But injuries like this can actually stop you from running. They can hamper you in different ways, from kicking, from doing that. So it's not so much just about the pain. It's actually a certain part of the muscle that doesn't allow you to perform different tasks on the field. So, but he's had 9 days off. You know, he's had a time to, I think last week he did it on the Wednesday or Thursday, so we had a couple of days to get it ready. But with 9 days under your belt and with the tension being on that part of the body all week, I think you'd be pretty close to 100%.
So, okay, well, with that in mind then, if we see Blake Taff kick, going to convert the try, or the first try that Bunny scored, if they score a try, what does that tell you about Renault's?
Well, it could tell you a couple of things. They've got a lot of faith in this young guy, and you know they want to make sure that Adam lasts the 80 minutes.
Okay.
Or it's not right.
All right.
I think it'd be right. I don't think he'd play. I don't think he'd goal kick if it's not 100%. I think we'll see him goal kicking. I think it's.
You think he'll goal kick?
Yeah, I think he'll goal kick. I think it's fine. Well, even last week, as Gerd mentioned, after doing it 2 or 3 days before the game, he was still mobile enough. He still started kicking in later in the game.
And he had a line break as well.
That's what I mean. So I think it's more so of warming it up.
Yeah.
And sometimes with a groin, it's really psychological. You're waiting for it to pop. You're waiting for it to go. And then you go, okay, well, that run was good. That tackle was good. Nothing happened. So, yeah, he's fine. I think everyone who's playing this grand final will be fine, to be honest.
Which is fantastic to see. I mean, outside of Tevita Pangai Jr., obviously, and Latrell Mitchell not being there, we are getting to see these two teams basically at full strength. MG, we need to talk about Mark Nichols, because this is a bloke who at the start of the year, I mean, most people probably wouldn't have had in the top 15 props, potentially, in the game. And yet here he is, having led the line for much of the season for the South Sydney, in a pack that, again, not many people rated. And he's been outstanding at, what, 30, 31 years of age?
Yeah, 26 games, 108 metres on average per game. He's just been one of them finds of the year. The irony of that is that the reason they've moved Adam Reynolds on is because he's 31. and they said they don't sign guys over 30 for 2 years deals. Well, Mark Nichols was 31. He signed a 2-year deal. So probably another reason why Adam Reynolds is just deep down just a little bit angry. But yeah, he's been great. To keep someone like Tommy Burgess coming off the bench, which I think is his perfect role. I think Tom Burgess, when he comes off the bench, he hasn't got time in that opening foray to do a mistake or have a mistake happen and lose his confidence. I think he comes off the bench raring to go. When he knows he's got a tiring pack against him, he's a big beast.
Mm.
He bullies them. He says, give me the ball. And sometimes in that game against Penrith, he ran 2 or 3 times a set. Like, he was just jumping out of his skin. So, and you're 100% right about Jai Arrow, Gerds. He loves the confrontation. And I'm saying to myself, well, who from Penrith is going to do that? Because Pengai Jr. did it against Melbourne last week. So someone like Moses Leota or someone like a Fisher Harris.
Well, I think Fisher Harris will make it personal because it was just a couple of times as you know, MG, forwards don't forget things. And he was, he really took it to him, Jai Arrow, in that first round of the semi-finals. And that's something that Fisher Harris would look back on now and say, okay, well, I come into this, essentially you go in always trying to get over the top of the opposition, but sometimes you go in looking to,
for that bloke,
to out a player,
yeah,
like to direct, make a beeline for someone in particular when you get the football and when they get the football. And I think you'll see Fisher Harris and Jai Arrow go at it for long periods of this grand final.
So.
We had Brian Fletcher on the show during the week, who told us that MG did that to him once when he had broken ribs, that MG just made a beeline, stuck his head down, aimed for the wounded ribs.
Do you remember that? It was about 98. I think he was playing with South, and Roy said, just do a rhino to him. Like, bend your head down when you're running. I've never seen it. And he said, I was in the defensive line, and all of a sudden, you were running at me and you bent your head. I said, well, you had a broken rib. That's what I was going for.
Hey, just
good tactic, Royce.
Hey. Yeah. Hearing you guys talk there about A, Tom Burgess, but B, Jai Arrow, and then having spoken to Benji Marshall on Friday, it strikes me that Wayne has got these bench players just so dialed in on what they need to contribute whenever they come onto the ground. And MG, we've talked about this when we've previewed games this year. The Storm, these two teams, and probably to a lesser extent, the Sydney Roosters, arguably the best four teams in the comp, their benches are so strong. The depth in the top teams is so good. And it seems like what you boys have just spoken about and what Benji told us on Friday, that Wayne in particular has got these bench players. They know exactly what is required of them for every minute that they are on the ground.
Well, Scotty Sorensen was on his way to the Super League in England, and he got a lifeline from Penrith, and now he's an integral part of this 17. And it's a 17-man game these days. It doesn't matter if you've got number 1 to 13 or 14 to 17, you're still part of the squad, and you're a much valued part of the squad. He's tackling at around 90, 91% efficiency, so he's doing his job. Then you have someone like Liam Martin, who will probably start the game in front of Kickow.
You think?
I think Kickow. What do you reckon? Gerds, Kickow off the bench again?
Yeah, it sort of happened over the last six or so weeks, hasn't it? You know, I actually like Viliami Kickow starting. He's a big body. He's a guy that, you know, you'll be trying to get at Adam Reynolds. He's a guy that can put the opposition off their game a little bit, but Ivan sort of likes to use him off the bench as a bit of an impact player. And Liam Martin, well, if you're putting in an origin forward to take a guy off, I guess it's not a bad situation to be in. So I would imagine they'll start like that again on Sunday.
We could sit here and just pick apart the storylines and the players and everything else about this game for another half an hour, but I know you're both going to tip Penrith, but I want you to give me a little bit of a synopsis on how they win, a scoreline, a Clive Church on and a first try scorer, please. We'll start with you, MJ.
Look, I think both teams are going to go tit for tat for probably 45, 50 minutes. So I think might be 18 all after 50 minutes. And then I think it might get down to the 63rd minute and Nathan Cleary kicks a field goal to make it 19-18.
Wow.
Then I think on the bell, Penrith score a try to make it 23-18.
23-18 with a field goal at 63-minute mark from Nathan Cleary.
Cleary misses the goal?
He might give it to one. I think he gives it to one of the guys who are leaving the club. So.
Benji comes and takes it?
First try scorer, I think, will be Brian To'o. And the Clive Churchill medalist, I think, will be Isaiah Yeo.
All right, Gertz, what do you think?
Look, what impressed me about Penrith's performance last week against Melbourne, in the back end of that contest when they really needed to back their defence, they were able to just put the ball in the corners, get down there, compress their defensive line, and Melbourne really struggled coming off their line. Now, I think Melbourne are better at coming off their backfield than South Sydney are. If you look at their outside backs, they've got Johnston that's kind of not the biggest body and not the best guy. He's not like a To'o. He's not like a Mansour. And you've got Paulo, who can do that, but it's probably not his best part of his game either, and young Taff. So if there's a way Penrith can play the game down there into the field, be patient with their defence, patient with their attack, and not allow South Sydney too many opportunities in their half where you ignite the Cooks and the Cody Walkers, I think that's their best chance of winning it. And I think hopefully they do that and they win by 10 points. Let's say 18-8, I'll go with.
Okay.
I said it before, every time Penrith won a grand final, their number 9's been outstanding. You see Roy Simmons and you see Luke Prittis. So I'm going to go with Appy Coruscant, who I thought was one of their best in that finals. A lot of his stuff goes unnoticed, but on the big stage, in a really tight contest, I think he might stand out.
And he's the only Panther to win a grand final before. And
against his old team.
Oldest bloke in this team.
Yeah, 28. Yeah.
Remarkable.
Young team.
Remarkable. All right, well, there you have it. The two Panthers grand final legends, both tipping a Panthers win. Gerd's going with Appy Coruscant for Clive Churchill, 18-8. MG is going with Isaiah Yeo, the co-captain, to take home the medal, 23-18. That's your grand final preview. Enjoy your day of footy wherever you're watching, however you're watching. Stay safe. Enjoy the final. And we won't see you on Monday because MG and I are having a well-earned week off. We will have Anthony Maroon jumping in for a week with James Graham. So enjoy that.